Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose with acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at worldclasswind.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this evening, and a really very, very happy New Year to you all. We are based here in California, but this past month we've had listeners in 36 different countries around the globe, from Asia and Africa and Europe and North and South America and Australia and New Zealand. It's just so wonderful. We're so grateful to have you all here with us. And it's such a blessing that we can interact and share our experiences and our thoughts and beliefs with so many different people around the world. It really gives me great hope that together we'll find a way to bring our lives into increased harmony with the entire world in a way that's both sustainable and filled with love. So I'm really, really grateful for all of us joining in today. And when we come together like this in pursuit of the highest good, we bring out the best in each other, and we really open the doors for spirit to work its magic in all of our lives.
Thank you, Josephine. This week's topic is Food is Your Best Medicine, How to Cure Yourself in the Kitchen. And during tonight's show, Josephine will be sharing some of her knowledge regarding health and healing. However, she's not a medical doctor, so if you are ill or are suffering from a disease, do please consult your doctor before attempting any natural healing programs. And for anyone new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. And during that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard to diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Thank you, Tony. So I'd really like to thank all of the folks who sent us in these beautiful letters of gratitude and of love this past week. I so appreciate them. And, you know, we all need encouragement, myself included. So thank you so very, very much. And thanks for keeping them coming because, you know, they really help me to keep showing up, which is a good thing. And tonight's topic is a really big one. It's health and healing. And this is, you know, I feel like a thoroughbred who's finally been let off the racetrack and allowed to just take a full run down the beach because this is so my subject. And we're going to just jump right in and get started. And, you know, as we step away from the pressures of marketing and food fads in our lives, which are, you know, so constantly nipping at our heels, we can learn how to leave our common addictions behind us. And that helps us to find our way back to health through listening within. So tonight I'll be sharing some of the simple ways that we can all heal ourselves using food from our own kitchens and our own gardens. You know, in our lives, we're not given an owner-operator manual when we come in like we get with a car or with a lawnmower or something like that. And so we have to kind of figure it out and learn how to take care of ourselves. And I've spent a lot of my whole life really devoted to this topic. And so tonight we're going to cover everything from, you know, fasting to food combining, and we're going to learn how to reclaim the power to heal ourselves right in our own homes and gardens. But before I go into this topic any further, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement. And this was a gift to me from my friend and mentor, Jana Massey, and I'm forever grateful to her. So please join me, if you will, in making this agreement together. And it goes like this. Together we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you, everyone.
You know, Josephine, I for one am really glad that we're starting the year looking at healthy living naturally. And it's worth pointing out that under your astute and wonderful guidance, I made lots of nice changes to my diet last year, starting the year before that, in fact. And I did experience a lot of benefits. I lost weight, my general health was very good, and I had more energy.
Good.
And even though I was exposed to lots of colds at the school and at home, I never once got ill.
However,
I do need to confess that towards the end of last year, I began to slip, and I started eating sugar and white flour and other things that are not quite so good for me, like I was starting to eat lots of chocolate.
Oh, dear.
So it culminated because of my recent trip back to England, and I noticed there I was eating fried foods, chips, and at the end I was staying with my parents, and I was having cookies and white bread. So now I'm not feeling like I've got quite so much energy. I'm not feeling quite so well, and I know I've put on weight as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really eager to get back to where I was and to go even further. So I could really usefully have a refresher course on sort of like the basics of healthy eating. But not only that, it's more some, you know, practical guidance on how to stay dining well, even when, for example, I'm traveling or I'm very busy or I'm feeling under pressure.
Oh, yes, absolutely, Tony. And, you know, I think it happens to all of us. I had quite a few little indiscretions over the holidays myself. But, you know, it's all common sense. And so we can get started with, you know, cleaning up our lifestyle, which this includes many, many things. But, you know, monitoring our thoughts is a really important thing. Our thoughts are habits, and they're either positive or negative. And so we can use our will to notice what we're thinking and then to change. And so a lot of people, fortunately, you know, this time of year, we are all starting to have like, okay, I'm going to knuckle down, I'm going to do it. And those are great thoughts. We want to really encourage that in ourselves. And then, of course, getting plenty of really vigorous exercise. I was so glad to hear you walked up the mountain today.
That was a good thing to do. It was a beautiful day in San Luis Obispo, and I climbed up a mountain and looked down on the world. Yeah, it was a wonderful way to start the year.
That's wonderful. Spending time out in nature like that, you know, that's just fabulous. And we're going to do more on exercise later in the month. But, you know, another very practical thing, of course, is drinking lots of water. Good clean water really helps us to, these things really help us to claim the blessing of good health in our lives. And quite often, you know, when we think that we're hungry, we're really just thirsty. And water is really the best thing to go ahead and allow ourselves to really, you know, heal ourselves. There was a book, I think it was called Your Many Cries for Water, and it was about how we don't often pay attention to how thirsty we are. And water, after all, it's the source of all life. Our bodies are made up mostly of water, and so we want to really enjoy it often. I keep a 16-ounce glass of water by my bedside so that first thing in the morning when I get up, I can drink that down, and it really helps me to rinse and clean my alimentary tract. You know, little bacteria and things will form pockets around in the body during the night, and by just doing that one thing, we really can help clean ourselves. Of course, rinsing the mouth out, brushing the teeth, all of that is good, too, for clearing those bacteria out, because it's better to have them out than in those not-so-healthy bacteria. And then I like to try to get 128 ounces of liquid down a day, and that can be water or smoothies or herbal teas and things.
Can you say that in pints? I can't really picture. What is that?
Okay,
in pints?
So 8 ounces in a pint and 24 ounces in a quart. And so I think, you're the mathematician here, so 24.
Is it only 8 ounces in a pint?
No, I'm sorry, 16. I'm sorry, 16 ounces in a pint. 8 ounces in a cup, 16 ounces in a pint, 24 in a quart. And
okay, well, 32 would be two then, and 64 would be four, so 128 would be eight. So 8 pints of water or liquid a day.
Yeah, that's right.
That's kind of quite a lot, isn't it?
It is. It is a lot. But it's really, really, you feel such a difference when you have that much water moving through your body. Your joints and everything else feels great. And it's a wonderful way to stave off what we think, you know, we often turn to food. But really, if we just have something lovely to drink, it will really help us to not go for those extra little snacks and meals that we may not need. But it's important to note that we, for instance, don't want to include in this the caffeinated beverages like coffee and tea or soda or alcohol. Those things don't count because those are more dehydrating than hydrating. So we want to be having mostly water for this. Now, myself, and as you well know, Tony, I love to have ginger tea.
Mm-hmm.
And I make that from taking fresh ginger root, and I slice it and I boil it, and then I pour off the water. And that's the clear ginger tea. And I'll usually make up, you know, a couple of quarts of that with a good hunk of ginger, maybe 4 or 5 inches long, thinly sliced in a pot of boiling water, and like 2 quarts of water or so. And then after I've poured that off, cooled it and poured it off, I will take those ginger roots. They still have a lot of ginger to offer. And I'll put them in the blender with a little more water, and I'll blend them up into like a fine, you know, smoothie-type consistency. And then I'll put them back into the pot with more water, another couple of quarts, and boil them again. And then that makes a kind of a cloudy ginger tea, and I pour that through what's called a nut milk bag, but you can use cheesecloth or an old clean cotton T-shirt or anything else to strain it. And that makes a wonderful, delicious, even stronger ginger tea. And I keep it all in the refrigerator. It'll last for up to 4 days. And that's what I tend to drink during the day, is this wonderful ginger tea. And in Chinese medicine, ginger is the anti-aging herb. When we get older, we often will get sticky, sort of sluggish blood that kind of clumps together. And that blood sort of starves our tissues from water because it clogs our capillaries and it slows the removal of metabolic waste from our cells. So ginger, naturally, that herb, thins and moves our blood and thus nourishes our bodies. And getting that much water through the body during the course of the day is a fabulous thing. So often when I go out, like yesterday or day before yesterday when I was running a few errands to get ready for our New Year's Eve gathering, our little party, I took a quart of ginger tea with me and I drank it all while I was out moving around. And that, when you do something like that, when you carry it with you, I like to always carry mine in glass. So I use old juice jars and things to store my teas and things in because I don't really like to store food in plastic. So often we know that there are various materials that will leach out of the plastics into the food and into our beverages. So I always use glass when I'm storing my food and when I'm storing my tea. And, you know, when we eat well, nourishing our bodies with healthy foods, we have the energy for exercise and enjoy getting out of doors. And we're only helped and we're never harmed by eating more fresh, organic fruits and vegetables. So organic is such an important thing because when we are detoxifying or when we are cleaning out our bodies, we don't want to put more pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and everything else into our bodies. We want to help pull them out. And so I like to use distilled water because it's for my drinking water because it's really empty and it pulls toxins out of the body. And then I get my nutrition back in, my minerals and vitamins and things from my foods that I eat. And I like to think of it as, you know, what would I have found on my great-great-grandmother's farm table? You know, what foods would have been there? Those, I think, are the really healthy foods for us to eat. And those are generally not the kind of foods that are going to come with a barcode when we go to the market. That's just, I want to eat whole natural foods. That's the best thing. And organic whenever possible and hopefully all the time. And you know, our vitamins are killed by heat. Anything over, I think it's 115 or 120 degrees kills the vitamins. And so if we want to get our vitamins in our body, then raw is best. And so to really boost your nutrition, you know, try to get as much raw food in as you can a day. So that's all of our salads and our, you know, fresh fruits and things. And another really great piece of advice that I came across years ago was to try to eat 12 different vegetables a day. Now, I don't often accomplish that, but I do try. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a huge quantity of each type of vegetable. It can just be a single stalk or a leaf or two of each one will do. And juicing really helps with this. So one of the things that Frank and I really enjoy doing, and we're hoping to do much more of it in this coming year, and we often will do a lot of it, is juicing. And so, like, for instance, this January is one of our months where we really like to do a lot of cleaning out. And so we'll do a number of days where we'll be juice fasting this month. And what we like to do is to try to drink a quart of raw, fresh, organic vegetable juice each day. It's a really way, fabulous way, a really great way to boost your energy and to heal your body. And you get major nutrition from that. It's extremely hydrating, and it's a wonderful way to heal our bodies.
I can attest to that because I went through a period, I haven't done it for ages now, where I was having the two jars a day.
Yeah.
And definitely in terms of energy levels, it's very good.
Well, you just feel so clean and so full of nutrients, and so it's such easy food for us to digest. In fact, most of it is digested just in the process of mixing it with the saliva in our mouth, and as we swallow it, you know, it barely even has to go through the stomach. It just zooms right into the intestines and immediately gets taken up and goes directly to our livers and then out through to the rest of the body to just nourish every cell in the body. And, you know, a lot of these vegetables are really easy to grow. We've grown vegetables with the students in on our block that live near us here near the university, Cal Poly State University in San Luis Obispo. And, you know, it's so easy to grow parsley and kale and spinach and zucchini and, you know, beets and green beans and Chinese peas and sugar snap peas and carrots and cucumbers and even celery. And, you know, those are wonderful juicing vegetables. And kale, I've heard kale called the prince of foods, and I really believe it. It's so full of protein and calcium and phosphorus, all the nutrients, the main major nutrients that we need. And one of my favorite green juices to make is the celery, cucumber, cilantro, zucchini, and snap pea. And, you know, celery and cucumber are so juicy that they make a lot of juice. So a lot of times Frank will, you know, push the food through the juicer, and most often I try to be the one to clean up the juicer, because it does take some time. It's going to take like an extra hour in your day, probably.
I think that's one of the issues, isn't it? That,
yeah.
That putting aside that time to do the cutting in and then the juicing and then the cleanup afterwards.
Right, but you think about how often people will put aside time to go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And so much better for you to put aside time in your own kitchen. And so that, you know, something like celery and cucumber and... And some people say, well, what about the Vitamix? You know, that's a nice way to go, too, you know, to have our foods be blended up in the Vitamix. And then you drink the pulp as well. But when we do it in a blender like that, we don't get as much of the actual vegetables down as if we're just doing the juice. Now, if you do the Vitamix, if you strain and squeeze out the pulp through a nut milk bag, which is sort of like I was mentioning earlier, cheesecloth or a clean cotton T-shirt, then you can drink a lot more juice. You can drink the equivalent of two or three heads of celery and three or four cucumbers and really get a lot down.
So what is the Vitamix, Josephine?
Well, that's just a really powerful blender.
Oh, okay.
And so it chops everything down into a fine pulp. And so then your green juice is kind of like a green smoothie. And that's a wonderful way to go. It's a lovely drink. But you're not going to get quite the number of the sheer quantity of vegetables down if you're drinking it with the pulp as well.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
understand.
Yeah. And there's other, you know, things that people will add to their juices. We have one friend who loves to put garlic in his juice, and another friend that adds ginger. One of our favorites that we kind of call, you know, like our holiday juice is yam, fresh raw yams, like sweet potatoes, and apple and carrot. And that makes such a creamy, sweet, lovely juice.
That's lovely. And that was something I wanted to mention before when you were talking about the ginger tea.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we often add a little bit of apple juice.
Oh, yes. I love to do that. That kind of takes the top edge off the ginger, because
yeah,
ginger can be a little hot otherwise.
Yeah.
And I learned this from a dear friend of mine who's since moved to the East Coast, and she always made her ginger tea with a little splash of maple in it. And I thought, well, that's a fabulous idea, but I didn't want to eat quite that much concentrated sugar, because I do have a little bit of a problem with the sugars, and concentrated sugars especially. I love them, but they're not so good for me. So I thought, well, let me try the apple juice and see how that does. And that, even though that is another concentrated sugar, and it's something that's, you know, maybe a little too much sugar for some, it does take that edge off for me, and I do really like my ginger tea with a little splash of apple at the top. It's very nice, isn't it?
It is very nice. Yeah, you can get into the habit of drinking it every day.
Every day. Not too hard. And, you know, in a pinch, you can go with some of those commercial superfood drinks, but those are processed, that come in the, you know, little plastic bottles and things. But those are not as nutritious as the real fresh article. And I always like for everybody to take a look at the companies that make these juices to really see if those are the kind of politics that you'd like to support. And so, you know, our hard-earned dollars, our energy, we want to make sure that we're spending it where we'd really like to see the corporations and the companies that are conducting themselves in a good way, with love and care and respect for all of life on Earth whenever possible. So, Yeah, if you need to, in a pinch, grab those, but just make sure that they're getting something from a company that you appreciate. And then when we were over the holidays, we had a wonderful time with our cousins in Chicago, and one of our cousins is often doing the Candida diet, and for an overgrowth, which, you know, the overgrowth of Candida is always the result of processed sugars, too many processed sugars and refined carbohydrates in the diet. And Candida can be a major detriment to our health and our well-being, Candida overgrowth. And she taught us a little smoothie that was just delicious. It was coconut water with a, you know, like maybe a cup or two of coconut water and a nice rounded handful of spinach and maybe two of those and half a lime and half of a cucumber and a few drops of stevia to sort of sweeten it up a little and a couple of pieces of ice cubes in there. And she put it in her blender, and it was just wonderful, so refreshing. And even the children liked it, her little son and daughter. So that was a wonderful thing to get a new juice to put into our back pockets to take home with us.
Lovely. Well, on the subject of juices and smoothies, I mean, I was last year, I was very good at making smoothies, and that's one of the things that I stopped doing, which is such a shame, because I was starting the day, and mine used to be orange juice and spring water, and then I'd add frozen organic blueberries and strawberries and a banana, and then some chia seeds, and sometimes I put some green superfood in there too, and then I would blend it up, and I'd be good to go. And what I found was that the chia seeds, they stopped me getting hungry. It was really filling. I could have that, and then I wouldn't want a snack in the morning. But today, I started the new year, Chloe made me a lovely smoothie. It was a bit similar to that one, except it also had coconut oil and avocado and carrot in it.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's really filling, and it's such a good idea to have a filling smoothie in the morning.
Yeah, and Frank and I make one very similar with the chia seeds and the maca, which is that South American plant. They use the root and very rich in vitamins and minerals and also adds a lot of vitality. It's really good for increasing vitality and for balancing hormones. And the chia seeds are just fabulous for us. They really help us to reduce our C-reactive protein levels, which are the markers for inflammation and thus cardiovascular disease. And when you are eating chia seeds on a regular basis, you're lowering that potentiality by something like 37-40%. And they also help to stabilize our blood sugars. And the omega-3 oils, which are very rich in chia seeds, are anti-inflammatory. And that really helps us with things like arthritis and joint pain, and ulcerative colitis is another one that chia is great for.
Yeah, I would definitely go with the chia seeds. Yeah, and I'm so glad you turned me on to those. That's been really, really good, and very good for the bowel as well, and just keeping your energy levels high so that you don't want to, you know, snack on things. So I really, really do like the chia seeds, and they're really inexpensive.
Yeah, and they're so easy to grow in the garden. At one point, we had them growing in our vegetable boxes, right, where Frank and I would take off from to take our little bicycle rides. You could just reach over and grab a little seed head and just shake it, you know, click, 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 flick it a little bit with your finger into the hand and get a nice teaspoon of chia seeds in your hand in just a second and pop them back and into your cheeks. And, you know, we'd go for a ride with those. It was just really fabulous. They're so great.
Oh, and I'm so glad you're reminding me of these things, because they're all things I really enjoy as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got out of the habit towards the end of the year.
Oh, it just happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So on my, whenever I do a medical intuitive reading for someone, I always ask a few questions when we're getting started. You know, get the personal information. And the questions that I ask are, you know, what about in the diet? What about sugar and chocolate and coffee and white flour and white rice and alcohol and soda pop and cigarettes and water and how many bowel movements a day? And these questions I've learned are really key for giving me a little bit of a, you know, an understanding about the basic health profile of a client. Because if somebody's eating sugar every day or, you know, a lot of caffeine from chocolate or black tea or coffee, then those are going to be weighing on the negative side of the scale for health. And the same with white rice and white flour. Those are empty calories. You're not getting any nutrition in those calories when we're eating those calories. And, of course, alcohol, you know, if it's in real extreme moderation, then that's not a problem either. But soda pop, cigarettes, I know one natural healer that won't even see clients if they're smoking cigarettes. And then is this body hydrated? And how is the bowel habit? Because constipation, you know, that when we are constipated, we reabsorb a lot of the waste products that we're trying to get rid of. And that actually creates a sort of a dirty blood situation where the blood is not all that clean coming from the colon. It has to go to the liver, and the liver has to try to clean that. And then if the liver is congested from a lifetime of eating too many junk foods and poor quality foods, then that blood goes back out into the body in a not-so-clean state, and it goes right to the brain. And then we have dirty thoughts, and then we can't think well. So really, the colon is the first site of poor health. And I know that for royalty throughout Europe and Asian doctors and things for the emperors, really as a means of preventing illness in their monarchs would check the bowel and the stool, check the stool every morning to see how that person was doing, how their wellness was. And for the people who really study poop around the world,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that they look for is you eat a meal and 20, 30 minutes later you have a bowel movement. And that makes perfect sense, really, because you know, we want to be eating our foods and then passing the old food out. And so in it goes and out it goes at nearly the same time. And that's a sign of good health. And also the consistency of the bowel, of the stool, is not too hard and not too soft, but soft enough. It should be sort of like soft serve ice cream. So just these are important things to know, and people don't ever talk about them very much.
No, they don't. That's definitely true.
And, you know, how do we get a good, healthy poop? Well, cutting down the animal products in the diet, those are always very constipating and really slow the bowel because they have no fiber, and eating more fruits and vegetables and drinking plenty of good, clean water. And so that's just one of those things about, you know, learning how to take care of our health. So that plus, you know, cutting out some of those common habits that we have of empty calories or alcohol or cigarettes, those are really important things for us to do to take good care of ourselves.
Well, on the subject of cigarettes, not many people know this or can remember this if they're old enough, but I used to be involved in tobacco education back in Britain.
Oh, yeah.
And in the 50s, the Players adverts, to sell their cigarettes, they had breathe more easily, smoke Players. I mean, because that was the perception at the time. People just weren't aware that it could have any detrimental effects on your health.
Yes, yes. And we're getting to that point, too, where now hopefully we'll begin to have that kind of awareness with sugar and with caffeine
mm-hmm.
as well.
When I was back in England, it was the first time I've ever seen this. Someone was trying to buy a packet of cigarettes in the supermarket, and it had a drop-down cabinet, and so they were completely hidden.
Oh.
And then suddenly they press this button, and the drawer thing comes down so they can take a packet out. So you don't see them anymore in the supermarkets.
You know, that's wonderful.
And they're going to move to brown, plain brown packages, so they can't advertise on the packages.
Wow, that's a really great... Well, see, in England you have socialized medicine, so... You know, when people are when the government is paying for the health care, then the government passes laws that protects the health of the people.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of good sense. I can hardly wait till the day we are doing the same with sugar.
That's the next thing in Britain. They went for salt.
Yes.
It didn't work too well because people just started putting more sugar in food, food manufacturers, instead of salt. So I think their next thing is going to be trying to figure out how to get less sugar in processed foods.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we have a large healthy food store here in our area that recently changed hands. And the first thing that happened that really turned off all of the local buyers, consumers, all of us shoppers, was junk food cookies right there at the cash register. You know, you have to walk through 10 feet of white bread and sugar to get to the checkout line. And then to get to the, you know, just past the produce to get to the rest of the store was this maze of alcohol bottles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be nice if those were all hidden in little cabinets with brown paper labels and nobody could see them until, you know, if you really wanted them. It would be a big help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we named the title of this show today, Food is Your Best Medicine. And That was actually the title of a book that was published in the 1960s by Henry Beeler, M.D., and it was in my mother's library, and I just loved this book. Henry Beeler came up with this beautiful concoction. It's actually sort of buried in the book. It's not given too much hoopla, but it's called Beeler broth, and this is something that we have used a lot in our lives, Frank and I, to kind of bring about balance in our own health. And many, many people have done so with this same recipe. And it's just zucchini and green beans and parsley and celery. And you go ahead, and this is a cooked food, so it's not going to have the vitamins, but it does have all the minerals, and it's really great for balancing the blood sugars. And you boil those up roughly equal parts and in some water, nice, good distilled water or something, and then you let it cool, and then you blend it. And you take that as a regular soup. We consider it like our fast food. Sometimes in the wintertime, the juices are a little, the fresh raw juices are a little too cold. And so we'll switch to Beeler broth often in the winter when the weather turns cold. And Beeler broth is one of those things that I have found that can really stop chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia right in their tracks. And it's also good for turning diabetes around. It can really be one of those things that really can, like I said, balance the blood sugars and help us to normalize our health. Another really great source for stopping something like diabetes and for these same types of problems is that Gabrielle Cousins book, Rainbow Green Live Food Cuisine. And he put out a video called Simply Raw. Oh, and by the way, you know, we're covering a lot of information tonight on the show here. So, you know, you can always go to the replays and catch it. And if you press the download button, then you can get the fast forward and reverse function so that it's easier for you to, you know, you don't have to listen to the whole show to get the one book. So, but Rainbow Green Live Raw Food Cuisine by Gabrielle Cousins is a book that I highly recommend to everyone. And, you know, that is a vegan diet, his diet. And the vegan diet, you know, is what, you know, a lot of people will say to me, oh, well, I have a pretty healthy diet, you know. And then I'll hear that they're maybe eating, you know, only at fast food restaurants every day, or that they're vegan, but they're only eating what I call the gummy bear vegans, which is, you know, probably one of the worst diets on the planet. You know, soda pop is vegan. And, you know, if you're just eating junk food that just happens to be vegan, well, you're really depleting your vitamins and, you know, that can be horribly dehydrating and not getting a lot of toxic, you know, removal. So, being careful of what you're eating, you know, so that it's good nutrition is really important. So you're getting lots of fruits and vegetables. And with Gabrielle Cousins, his video, Simply Raw, he found that, he's found many, 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 many times that they can reverse diabetes, both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, in just 21 days. And then another thing that we can do is fasting. And I know that I've done juice fasting for any number of problems that I've had where I've had maybe a bad inflammation situation. I'll just go right to my green juices and I can clean things up with that. And water fasting is another thing that I have done to help clean up difficulties. Although I do, and you know, Gandhi has done water, we know Gandhi did water fasting and so has Peace Pilgrim. And I know several friends who've enjoyed water fasting. But I always like to recommend that you consult with a naturopath when you're doing water fasting because it is a little tricky with, you know, not going into digesting our muscle tissue. We want to digest and use up, you know. But however, these extensive fastings, you know, the body has a tremendous wisdom in it, and it will eat up tumors and things when we're doing fasting. So that's something to consider, too. But like I said, with the advice of a naturopath or somebody very close to hand who can help you do that. Because, you know, we're all different. So we want to, you know, follow different. And it's true, as complex and as different as we are, we're also quite similar. And the basic ground rules will sort of serve us all. So we want to, you know, begin to do all the good things that we believe in. And it might take a little while for the living to catch up with the believing, as Peace Pilgrim says, but it can.
Oh, Josephine, we've had a couple of questions come in about the things that you said.
Oh, excellent.
Is this a good time?
Yes, this is a great time.
Okay, great. The first is from Rosalie from Norfolk, Virginia.
All right.
And she writes as follows. Hi, Josephine. When I worked with an acupuncturist, he advised me to use ginger.
Oh, yeah.
But he would not let me use but a teaspoon of ginger root a day because it would change my body temperature regulation too much. Can you help me with how much ginger tea I can use?
Ah, yes. Very good question, Rosalie. Thank you. And, yes, that's a wonderful advice from your acupuncturist. And everybody is different and everybody is unique. So that is probably just right for you to not use more than a teaspoon of ginger root per day. And but for me, for my body, I run very warm and I can do a lot of ginger root. It doesn't seem to – I know that ginger root is warming, but I still can do quite a lot of it. So when I do my ginger, like I said, I do about 4 or 5 inches. And that will last me about 4 days with about a quart of ginger tea per day. And so I'm probably getting about an inch of ginger per day, which is probably not too much more than a teaspoon. So it's probably right about in the same ballpark figure as to what your acupuncturist said. But like I said, everybody is different, so you can kind of just pay attention to your own what feels right and good for you. And ginger is one of those herbs that they consider to be a great herb in Chinese medicine. And a great herb is one of those herbs that will never harm you and they will only help you. So I would be curious to know why your acupuncturist felt that it was important to not exceed that quantity of ginger per day. But I'm sure they had good reason for it. So thank you, Rosalie, very much for your question.
Thank you, Josephine. And we received this question from Marilyn, and she's from Zion in Illinois. And she writes, "Hi, do you use sea vegetables each day or only a few times a week? Love your show. Thank you."
Oh, great. Well, sea vegetables are so great for us, for our iodine. And that is one of the things that is so important for preventing cancers. And so I will speak more about that in our show later on this week. I mean, later on this month. But, yes, we do try to have sea vegetables in our diet regularly. And the way that Frank and I enjoy doing it is when we're having rice or something like that, we'll go ahead and put sea vegetables in the water as we're boiling the grains, and they just sort of seem to disappear. Another great way to have the North American dulse, which is a lovely, light, sort of frilly purple dried sea vegetable, is to take the dulse and spread it out on a cookie sheet, heat the oven up to 275 degrees, and then turn the oven off before you put the dulse in the oven. And then you go ahead and put the dulse in that oven that is cooling down. And as it cools down, it will go ahead and dry it to a nice crispy, sort of like a little snack, like a little crispy snack, a salty snack. And that's a great way to do it, too. Another way is to just take a little iodine supplementation, and that will help us to get that wonderful benefit. And it can be, we can get those little sea kelp granules here in the little shaker bottle, and you can shake them on your salads and on your potatoes and on whatever you're eating. That's just a wonderful way to go. So there's many ways that we can incorporate sea vegetables into our diet, Marilyn, and I'm so glad you asked about them.
Josephine, you said a little while ago about the gummy bear vegans or vegans. As you call
them. Yes.
You call them vegans. Yeah, vegans, yeah. It sounds like something out of Star Trek to me. But I think I was a little bit in that category because I was a vegetarian, so I kind of thought, well, that's me being healthy. And it wasn't until I really met you that I suddenly realized, well, actually, no. If there's a lot of sugar in your diet, that isn't particularly healthy, and then I realized that, you know, coming up towards Christmas and through Christmas, that I was starting to eat a lot more sugar. Now, can you explain why is it that sugars, you know, when we have sugar in the food, is not a good idea?
Well, they are very detrimental to our energy system. They really jack us up, and then they drop us down hard. And like you were saying earlier about the, you know, fat-free, we went to more salt, and then we realize, oh, no, salt-free, we went to more sugar. Well, the thing of it is that we need fat and sugar and salt in our diets, but we just want to have healthy versions of those. And so for the salt, like I said, Frank and I, we get, like I've said in the past, we use that Celtic sea salt, which is dehydrated ocean water, which has a very close component mineral-wise to our own blood. And that really feeds us nutrients. That's great for us to get our nutrition from that kind of salt, as opposed to ordinary table salt, which is just sodium chloride. And Interestingly enough, if you buy what's called, quote, sea salt, that can be just ordinary table salt with any four industrial waste product minerals in it. And so really to get the good quality salt, you need to pay a little more. And the poor quality salts are just pennies a day, but I mean, are pennies a month, actually. It's very, very inexpensive. And the good quality salt is only pennies a day, but it's so much worth it, so much more worth it to get the minerals and the nutrients that we need from our salt. And then for the fats, you know, we want to get the healthy fats. We want to get the omega-3 especially, and it should be in good balance with the omega-6. Omega-3 and 6 are the essential fatty acids that we need to get from our foods. And those are very different from the fats that you find in, say, donut oils or things that have been in deep fryers for weeks. You know, like, how often do they reheat that oil in the French fry machine? You know, you kind of wonder about that. And we want to, we need healthy fats in our diet because if we didn't have good, every cell in our body is made out of what's called a lipoprotein. The cell wall is a lipoprotein. And that's a protein combined with a fat. And if we didn't have that, you know, we would be water soluble and we would wash down the drain if we took a shower. So we want to have good healthy fats, but we want to make our fats out of good quality fats. So there we go back to the chia seed again. And butter I consider to be a very good fat. Coconut oil is an excellent fat. They've even done studies showing how coconut oil can reverse Alzheimer's. And evening primrose is another beautiful fat. So we definitely want to have those kinds of fats. And like I said, the chia seed, that has something like 8 times more omega-3 than salmon does. So it's a fabulous source. And then the salmon, again, you know, if we're getting wild salmon from the ocean, that's a great quality fat, rich in good omegas. But if it's a farmed salmon, it's been fed corn, and you're not getting a good quality fat from that farmed salmon. And, in fact, the farmed salmon, unfortunately, is responsible for the great decrease in the salmon in our waters because the parasites that form on those farmed salmon migrate to the wild baby fish as they're coming down the river and kills all those little baby wild salmon. So that's why we've had such a detriment to the salmon population. So avoiding farmed salmon is a really good idea. And then not only do we need fat and salt in our diet, but we also need sweetness. We need sugar. Sugars give us energy. But the trick here is getting our sugars from things like fruits, because the processed sugars, those affect us in a very negative way. And I'll speak more about that when we talk on our week when we're talking about reversing diseases, because sugar has a huge effect on feeding cancer cells, processed sugars. But natural sugars like fruit, like from fruit, and this is not fructose, this is not processed or refined sugars, but like from an apple or from a pear or a peach or something like that, those are fabulous for us and they do not feed diseases. And we do need sweetness in our life. We need to have sweetness and love. So it's a good idea for us to have sweetness.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I really don't like the idea of giving up fruit.
No.
But I often hear people say, well, it's all the same, you know, sugar is sugar, whether
right.
you're getting it from an apple or a banana or whether it's coming, you know, straight out of the sugar bag. But you're saying, no, it's definitely different.
It is definitely different. And it's important to remember that just 10 or 15 years ago, science was telling us that the calories from kale were the exact same as calories from a donut, that a calorie was a calorie. But now we know, of course, that there are empty calories out there, calories that provide no nutrition, and that's the difference. And it's sort of similar with the refined sugars. The refined sugars have a different spin to the molecular makeup on the mm-hmm. atomic level.
Talk a little bit about some alternatives then.
Well, yes. So I'd like to speak about a little bit right now is some sugar-releasing tricks. Because being a sugar addict myself, I've come up with, and I have quit sugar probably hundreds of times in my life. And so I need to refresh myself on these periodically too, because like it happened just now at work of this last Christmas, you know, my darling, wonderful cousin had some chocolates and I got into them and loved them, but, you know, they are not good for me. And so I really feel the effects of them in short order. And so what I've found is that we can substitute, when we're coming off of sugar, we can substitute with honey and maple syrup, which are very concentrated, but they're not as addicting. And you can let go of honey and maple syrup much easier than you can sugar. So I use a step-down program. And what I'll do is I'll make something like a little dessert for myself. Like, for instance, I'll take maybe some almond butter and add in a little maple syrup and a little sliced ripe banana or something like that. It's going to be a very super sweet little treat, maybe some raisins, and that can kind of help, that can get me through. And what I find is that if we've had sugar one day at, say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the very next day at 2 o'clock, we're going to be wanting sugar again. And so if we can beat ourselves to the mark and go ahead and have something like a really sweet treat at, say, 1 o'clock on the following day, then we can overcome that craving for that sugar. We can prevent it. We can stave it off. And then this is, like I say, a step-down method, because we don't want to be eating that much of these really concentrated natural sugars either, even though they are not as addicting and they are not as detrimental to our health. There's still too much for us regarding our hormonal system and our blood sugar balance in our body. So we want to get off of those sweet organic honeys and those real maple syrup treats as well in short order. And then as well, I've also found that black cherry juice concentrate can really help me to get off of chocolate, because chocolate is addictive for two reasons. The sugar is the primary one, but the body also has a great need for magnesium. And black cherry juice concentrate is very rich in magnesium. And so that helps us to step down as well. So there's some things that we can do like that, because these sugar swings, they exhaust our adrenal glands. They're very insidious, and they create imbalances throughout our hormonal system. And they also increase the acid in our body, so that acid-alkaline balance gets off. Every dentist knows that, you know, sugar is terrible for teeth if they're really paying attention. I know my dentist, he recently said to me, "Oh, I always love looking in your mouth. It's so clean." And that's a wonderful thing to hear. And it's because really 99% of the time I'm not having processed sugars in my diet. And then, of course, osteoporosis and other kinds of things that will, disease conditions will happen when we wind up stepping into that more acidic condition, which, of course, is the result of too much sugar in the diet, as well as too much caffeine and alcohol and red meat and things. All of these are acidifying in our diet. And we'll talk more about that later in the month, like I said. But, you know, we can also, oh, maybe you can show that next slide for us, Tony, if you would.
Certainly.
And thank you, Frank, for making these beautiful slides of the Mount Whitney area.
That's, I know, we're in danger of not seeing very many of
them. Oh, that's right, we should get on with it a little, huh? And, but I don't think I've mentioned much about J.J. Virgin's book, The Virgin Diet. And she really takes it another step further, because she says really nothing sweet at all. And she finds that when she gets people, you know, something like cinnamon is actually very sweet. And she's the mother of teenagers, and all of her teenagers are sugar clean. And she tends to towards the omnivore diet, but she also has options for the vegan and the vegetarian diets as well. And she says that when we go on this completely, really kept taking the sugars out of the diet, that the weight just drops off. And I know for my own self that having sugar out of my diet, and, you know, especially the refined sugars, but also the really concentrated super sweet sugars like honey and maple syrup, that we really do decrease the inflammation in our diet. And arthritis and, you know, sugar swings, those kinds of things, a lot of that arthritis-type condition is the result of our synovial fluid in our joints actually getting clogged with various funguses and little bacteria and things that grow in a sugar-rich environment. So I think there's a lot to her work, and I would like to recommend our listeners to check out what she has to offer, because this sugar thing, I tell you, it's big, and it's like we were talking about, it's just about like the cigarette situation was years ago. We want to really watch it. And so, you know, may we come to a new world that really has an understanding that sugar, coffee, you know, cigarettes, alcohol, that these are things that are really detrimental, and white, you know, empty calories from white rice and white flour, these are things that really affect our health adversely. And that's why I ask those questions every time I do a medical intuitive intake call.
And Josephine, we've had a message from Dawn, and she writes, "Sending love and light to you. Thank you for your loving guidance and reminders on how it can all work through thick and thin. Sending big, warm hugs of gratitude, Dawn."
Oh, thank you, Dawn. That's such a sweet message. And, yeah, I wanted to just mention briefly before we move on that one of our family members had a serious situation with alcohol in his life. And when he did the liver detoxes that we'll talk about later this month, he found that his cravings were greatly reduced, and much more so than his other companions who were also trying to clear that out of their lives at the same time. So we'll cover more of that later. But what I'd like to just jump into while we have these last few minutes of the show is food combining. And maybe you could show that slide on food combining, if you would, Tony.
Certainly.
Thank you so much. So now this is a wonderful chart, and these charts are widely available on the Internet. And I really recommend that you just type in, you know, food combining, proper food combining chart, and hit the images button, and you'll see. But basically, I'll just cover this very quickly. Our proteins do not mix well with our starches. So there go all of your sandwiches, be it peanut butter to tuna fish, whatever. You know, that's a protein combined with a starch. And what happens in the stomach is that the digestive enzymes and acids for each food are different, and the starches and the sugars will always jump to the head of the line and get digested first. And that means that the proteins have to sit and wait, and they putrefy. And having putrefaction in the digestive tract is part of how we get so many toxins in our colon. So we really want to watch out for that. Now, the good news is that proteins do go well with vegetables. So you can have your, you know, soaked nuts on a salad or seeds or whatever. And also, starches go well with vegetables. So you can have your potatoes and in a salad, or potatoes and broccoli. But fruits do not go well with anything else. Fruits are really best eaten alone. And then your sweet fruits are best eaten with your other sweet fruits, or you can do slightly less sweet, slightly acidic fruits, though that's not considered as good. And then your subacid fruits, those not so slightly sweet fruits, should be separate from your really acid fruits. So, for instance, you wouldn't want to necessarily have bananas with citrus, which are sweet with acid. But you might be able to pull off bananas with apricots. So that's just a little basic primer. Eat your fruit alone and keep your proteins and your starches separate, but you can have them with vegetables.
Right, because this would have an impact on how I'm having my smoothies, because I often like to have, strawberries and the blueberries with bananas, but you're saying that's not a good idea.
Not as good, but, I'm a little more slack on the fruits being combined than I am, say, on the proteins with the starches.
Uh-huh.
That's where we really do get into trouble.
It's the proteins and the starches.
Those are the really big ones, yeah.
Okay.
But in proper food combining, though, they really do recommend that you would just have, you know, your bananas with maybe some dates or figs or raisins or persimmons or pears instead of going with the strawberries or the more sour fruits.
Right.
So depending on how much you want to get into it. But the benefit about proper food combining is it really eliminates so many of these gastrointestinal problems, especially like acid reflux, which is so common in our culture today and can cause so many problems, heartburn, gas. Nearly all of these gastrointestinal problems are cleared up when we do proper food combining. And then, of course, for, you know, some of the more severe intestinal problems, cutting out some of the common allergens like wheat and corn is a really good idea, and also really dropping down on the animal products. They seem to add a lot of problems for the intestinal tract.
Okay, well, I think, Josephine, I'm pretty clear now on what it is I need to do. I need to get back into starting the day with the smoothie, drinking the green juice, remembering the salads, and just cutting out all the unnecessary sugar. I know we haven't got very much time, but I'm wondering if you could help me with some tips for making sure I stay on course or get back on course.
Yes, well, the first thing that I like to suggest people do is to go and clean out the cupboards in the kitchen. You know, get rid of the junk and give it away if you must, toss it, you know, if you have to, and just have only really good healthy foods at home. And then eat at home. And it really starts with the shopping, you know, going to the market and, you know, not succumbing to all those thousands of cookies that are right by the checkout aisle. And go to a different store if you must, because if it's too tempting for you, don't go into those stores. Fortunately, we have a wonderful store in our area, our little natural foods cooperative, which is just a beautiful little store, and you don't have to worry about all that big problem there. They're not having the super hyped up cookie aisles right as you're trying to check out. And getting, you know, lots of nuts and seeds and fresh, basically we do all of our shopping in the vegetable department. You really don't even need to go down those other aisles of processed foods. And And I've heard it said that if you are going to eat a processed food, make sure that it has no more than 5 ingredients. And be sure you can understand everything that's listed on the ingredient label. I consider that really a health insurance. I don't ever really look so much at the price of the foods. I look only at the quality of the foods. That's, you know, it saves me in dollars down the line by eating foods that are whole and natural and really good. And that word natural is one that, of course, the marketers have grabbed a hold of, and everything says natural on it now, or not everything, but a lot of things do. And they are not necessarily natural. So we want to really pay attention to the quality of our foods much more so than the price, I think, if we can. And so starting with the shopping and cleaning out the cupboards, and then also accepting and loving ourselves exactly as we are, including our foibles and or our lack of change or our bad habits. Like I said, I've quit sugar hundreds of times, and I still love myself, and even if I slip, it's okay. You know, we do the best we can, and that's probably the really great place to get started. And then also I like to encourage people to eat with the seasons. You know, we don't have cantaloupe growing here in the winter, so I don't usually buy it because if it is available in the store, it's been using a lot of petroleum products to get it up here from South or Central America, and so I think that we want to eat with the seasons. And then also to have some sort of pre-prepared plan ready to go. Like, for instance, the other day I was just really, after I'd had that chocolate, of course, one bad thing tends to lead to another, and so I was thinking about ice cream, and I said, Josephine, you know, if you can not do the ice cream, just buy some regular whipped cream and have it with a persimmon or a banana or something. That can get me through. If I make little strategies and deals with myself when those cravings come on. Or else I'll say, well, if I still want this after I've had a glass of green juice, then I'll let myself have it. Most of the time I won't need it anymore after I've had something really healthy and good. So it's just a matter of working through. And then we do educate our palate. You know, we change our taste buds. We grow new taste buds every 2 weeks. And our taste buds can really tell. I mean, oh, perhaps you can squeeze in that last slide.
Yep, we're getting very, very near.
Very, very near the end. But the tongue does know an imposter. And, you know, these fake foods like margarines or hydrogenated oils, I mean, as a young girl, I used to love to eat those cakes that were made with the frostings with the hydrogenated oils. Now if I get a piece of wedding cake delivered to me or something and it's got that stuff on it, I think, yuck, I wouldn't put that in my body. No way. It's too disgusting, and it doesn't taste good either. And so, you know, just watching out for ourselves and then getting lots of good quality sleep and downtime, because when we're tired, we tend to turn to sugar pretty quickly, so watching out for that. And, you know, it's interesting to note, and I'll just take one last minute to just mention this, because I don't really approve of animal testing, but they did do some tests with animals that showed that with rats and mice, they got them addicted to both sugar and to cocaine. And the rats and mice chose the sugar over the cocaine. That's how addictive it is.
Wow.
So being careful about that. And then also, too, we are not alone in our bodies. We have something, I don't forget how many, 70 trillion million other beings that are living inside of us, the funguses and the parasites and the bacteria, and they all thrive on sugar. And so we really want to go ahead and realize that a lot of times those cravings that are happening when we walk past the candy aisle, it's like, ooh, those are the funguses and bacteria within me that are talking and giving messages to my brain. It's not just me in here. There's a lot of other little beings that are influencing my decisions that I make. So, you know, using those wonderful vermifuges that they know throughout the world, the pumpkin seeds and chilies and wormwood and green walnut hulls, to help, you know, kick those other little beings out of our body. And then for, you know, other strategies, things that I'll do, like I always eat well before I go to a potluck, because that way I'm not so tempted to eat some of those things that are showing up on the potluck table. And if I go hungry, I have a harder time.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And then with restaurants, I don't go very often. And I try to be very wary when I do go, because you cannot control the quality of your food in a restaurant. What are those oils that they're cooking with, and how hot were they, and how much sugar do they put in the food? So all of those things. So in closing, I'll leave you all with a little exercise, which is to just ask within to find out, does this craving come from within your own consciousness or from without? Is it an advertising, or is it some other influence in your life that is going ahead and asking you to to indulge in these things and to just use that as a little homework assignment to just ask yourself this week and see what comes to you from within.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine.
Sure.
So I've got lots to work on there.
Yeah.
So I'll just say then that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Just click on the top menu for radio. And if you have a question for Josephine or you'd like to be included in our weekly newsletter, simply go to the contact page of the website. Again, that's stepintomagic.com and send us a message. So, Josephine, are there any parting words that you'd like to say?
Yes, there are. And maybe you can show our final slide, and I'm so happy we did get through them all. And this one is a little blessing. And, you know, in the advanced course, it doesn't really matter what we find that we are eating. If we are blessing it and really honoring it as the beautiful nourishment that everything can be, then we really take it to a whole nother level. And so I'll just do our final little slide here with you, which is a little blessing that I use that can, you know, our thought can transmute the food. And so this one is, from the earth we receive and so learn to give. Together we share and so we live. And then may this food serve in truth, and may this food nourish in fullness. And with blessings like that, we really can change the energy of whatever it is that we're eating. And in closing, I'd like to thank you all so very much for giving me the gift of your time. And I'll finish with just one more little blessing, which is, as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you very much, so very much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure talking with you over the radio waves, and I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about food as your best medicine, how to cure yourself in the kitchen. This has been show number HLN-1.15. If you've enjoyed it, we really hope that you will tell your friends, and we look forward to having all of you join us again next week when Josephine will continue talking about health and healing.
Thank you very much, Tony. And if we need to, we'll go ahead and set this up as a two-part series. So if necessary, we'll go ahead and work that out and hope that you all have enjoyed the show. Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. And I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.